Hey everyone, this is episode 237, and I'm going to give a giant disclaimer. I'm not saying this is a bad episode, in fact, I still had fun on the episode, but for a lot of you, this will be one of the episodes that you want to skip, because it is heavy into football talk, and more specifically, there's a lot of SEC talk, because joining us today, not only was it the Silver Badger, who brings a game that we tank, but also Arkansas John, or as he's actually from, Denver, Colorado, but since he's got an Arkansas tattoo, he wore an Arkansas Razorback shirt through the whole thing. He's Arkansas John. I think it's his third time being on the show. So, if sports isn't a turnoff for you and SEC football is your bag, well, then this is a great episode. And then we also actually talk a little fantasy football to just drive that final nail in the coffin about it being an episode that you probably don't want to listen to. But that said, I appreciate you getting through the intro and downloading it anyway. So sit back, try to relax, at least maybe listen to it while you go to sleep at night. This is episode number 237 featuring Arkansas John and a lot of SEC football. So after the bomb, that's what you're about to get, you're being for. So here it comes now. So I'm rooting for Chelsea because so far I root more for players than I do teams.
Sure.
And Pulisic. So, you know, but also I've become a massive fan of Haaland. So I want him in the EPL.
Yeah.
Because he's like Thor if he were a soccer player.
Yes.
He is an unbelievable athlete. We were just talking about it. We were talking about some guy with good news. It's just, I know there's been crazier transfer sites, you know, windows. But rarely have you seen the two, quote-unquote, greatest player of their generation move in the same month and a half.
I think this is the craziest since I've been a fan.
It's not – the volume hasn't been the craziest,
yeah.
But the names that have moved, Lukaku and Ronaldo and Messi, and the way the Ronaldo thing played out was even weirder.
And they only got him for, what, 25?
Yeah.
Like something
– he did 2 years as well.
They're in the twilight of their career, that's true. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I was telling him it's also a weird time for soccer right now because – you do have some of these greats. Even Lewandowski's not super young. I mean,
no.
And Ibrahimovic, how many games does he have left? I mean, it's pretty. It's going to be fit. But and then you got and even Mbappe moved.
Is he officially at Real now?
I mean, that's what I saw. I didn't think it was, but I saw somebody saying Mbappe because I thought he was still.
I didn't see it was finalized.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. That's the rumor.
Yeah.
He's not happy at PSG.
Why wouldn't
he's asked to be moved for sure.
I don't know why you wouldn't, if you're at PSG and you get Messi, why you wouldn't see what it's going to be like.
Because people like Becky Lynch want to be the man.
Yeah, there's too many. There's not enough balls for Neymar, Messi, and Mbappe.
Yes.
And Mbappe at this point might be the better player of the three because he's so much younger.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, so much younger.
But, absolutely.
I'm sorry that we had to do that to people at the beginning of this podcast. But I am going to say we are back, and I did want to give everyone a caveat right up front. Today is, it's special for two reasons. It's the second official episode back for the Silver Badger. Number two for number two since post-COVID. And then, other than that, it's the return of John Shannon to the podcast, friend of the show, living in Denver. And we'll get to that a little bit. But John and I talked. John was very excited when he found out you were the only co-host today because that means, and here's the spoiler, or not a spoiler, but the disclaimer, this episode's going to be heavy into sports talk.
Yeah, so if you're one of those many fans of ours that like the comic book-centric episodes, feel free to skip.
Yeah, this is not it.
You've already downloaded it, and we appreciate it. But this will be a very sports-heavy topics today, and I have a game later on that is going to be centered around tomorrow night. Mr. Host, will you tell us what tomorrow night's
going to be? Well, so John, say hi to people first. We talked about you, but you didn't say a word.
How's it going, guys? It's going to be a very heavy SEC football
episode. He really wants to get an SEC. But before we do that, let's give a little background on what John's doing here. So first off, I think one of the things that spurred John, and this is going to be a story I'm going to tell, the only comic book-related story I'm going to tell. I've been waiting to tell this all week.
Jesus Christ. 2 minutes in, we're already going comic
but
books?
But this, the last week's Comic-Con, John got a little jealous that some of the old friends were together at last week's Comic-Con. And it was his birthday, so for his birthday present, I gave him the greatest story that we've ever had at Comic-Con.
Jesus showed up?
Which I'll tell you about.
No? Okay.
Somebody was seeing stars. And so he was like, I wish I could be there. And then like literally a couple days later, he goes, hey, you doing anything this weekend? I go, well, fantasy football draft. He goes, I'm thinking of flying in. So this whole trip has been perpetuated by missing the group together, and it's just a good time to do fantasy football draft. So you're in town for our annual fantasy football league, and I'll tell you guys this. I consider the lineage of this league to be me and Hikus.
Okay.
The original six guys that were in this, Hikus and I were two, so this league has been going on this year for the 25th straight year.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and he and I have been in it, and so John's been in it for at least 12. No, maybe more.
Maybe 16 years.
Yeah, so there's some guys in this league that have been here a long time. And we were just talking that eight out of the 10 of us will be drafting in the same location. It could be 9, but one of us can't stand up to his wife.
It's me. It's me.
But although I am not, I'm not 100% certain that Bender's going to be there. So
I may have also used the wife as an excuse because I'm also maybe getting NWA power at the Chase Park Plaza tomorrow.
Yeah, so the wrestling at the Chase, which is an old school thing for St. Louis, is back. And NWA, owned by Billy Corgan, of Smashing Pumpkins fame, is bringing it back to St. Louis, so they have their pay-per-view here. So he's getting it. To which case, I called you a nerd.
Oh, you're factually correct.
But I was also in the middle of doing something, so I couldn't follow up, and I wanted to tell you, it's the pot calling the kettle black, because just yesterday, I ordered the new white CM Punk shirt and a sticker for the refrigerator.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah, so I got that, which is my favorite wrestling shirt of all time, that new one.
They've already said that as the highest-selling shirt in pro wrestling tees history after like a day.
It outsold the entirety of the Bullet Club shirt, which was their previous record for Bullet Club shirts.
That's insane.
And I got the sticker for the side of the fridge.
I love it.
Yeah, so super nerds. But that said, should I at least start with what happened at Comic-Con weekend?
Absolutely.
I wish Jay was here because this is a story that Jay actually witnessed firsthand. And I'll tell you this. Jay said, other host Jay, he said, I'm just happy because we have a lot of stories. As a group, we're an old group of friends, so we have a lot of drunken debauchery, stupid things happening stories. And after this moment happened, literally before we started walking back to the hotel, Jay goes, I'm just happy I'm a part of a story. So for those that haven't done this, and I've never done this, in Nashville and St. Louis and any town I've ever been in, I've not rented those scooters.
Okay.
Those scooters might be the most fun thing I've ever done in a city. I rent them, and I was flying all over. So it should be noted, Hal Powell does these scooters quite a bit. And he scooted from his work to us at the hotel. And Dwayne is maybe the worst scooter driver of all time, or at least he started that way. So we get these scooters, and we're scooting to where we want to go, drinking heavily. Well, to start, we scooted relatively sober, relatively. And then we hit a bunch of great bars, breweries, and then we go to this craft distillery where I drink. I've never had a gimlet.
What is a gimlet?
It's a vodka-based drink. With this one had orange and I think, or is it gin? No, it's a gin-based drink.
Okay.
Yeah, gin-based drink with some soda water and like orange. And a very refreshing drink.
I was going to say, for a summertime drink, that sounds delightful.
Yeah, in fact, it may be my favorite like fancy drink, pre-prohibition drink. Here we go.
It's gin with lime juice.
Oh, that's it.
Or sometimes vodka. So
yeah,
you're right on both counts.
I think this one was gin with lime juice, and I think they put an orange peel in it. I wanted to say it was a splash of soda water or something, but it was very good.
So have you ever done, Shannon, the scooter thing?
I've never done them. The only time I see them is when I'm downtown and I've been heavily drinking.
So I haven't either. What's the cost on those?
For what we did, the longest drive we did was about 10 city blocks from our hotel to this breakfast place. That cost me $2.78.
So is it like $1 to fire it up and then charges you per mile? Or?
So you can do it one of two ways. You can get the app.
Okay.
And you can either just put $20 on a card and then you save money if you just reload your card.
Okay.
And then you just, tick off of that. Or you just pay as you go and then it's like 5% more. Okay. And it's like, I don't know how much it is. It's like there's a flat fee right up, but I think it's like 50 cents. And then whatever your fee
is. Gotcha, that's not bad.
No, in fact, it was a pretty awesome way of getting around town. I mean, we were, the breakfast restaurant was like 1.2 miles away, which when you're right now currently nursing a bad back or you guys are drinking a lot, that's almost an Uber ride. Long walk.
Yeah.
But on a scooter, it's 5 minutes. And yeah, it's awesome. Now, you do obey traffic laws. You're not supposed to be on sidewalks, but I didn't listen to that. We had fun. So we're doing this. So we go to this restaurant, this distillery, and I also have a Manhattan, have their craft Manhattans that they make. So Hal Pow and I also both drink a double or two in the hotel before we went. So everybody drank, but me and Hal Pow, as we do, mixed a lot of booze. So we're ready to leave the...
This is before you even walk into the Comic-Con.
No, we had done Comic-Con. This was Friday. This was Friday evening. We always go way too hard.
And this is the St. Louis Comic-Con?
No, Kansas City.
Gotcha, okay.
So we're leaving this craft distillery, and we're getting on our scooter, and Dwayne... So I have to put it in comparison how bad Dwayne is. He always goes off into a vacant lot, does a lot of circles, and every time he gets off, he jumps off, and the scooter shoots up in the air like a horse rearing back. And so the next morning, I go, why do you do that? He goes, well, how the fuck are you guys stopping it? I said, the brake? He goes, oh, I didn't even know there was a brake. I go, yeah, your left hand. And he goes, well, this is way easier. And I go, even if that were the case... why not just let off the gas before you jump off of it? Dwayne was the worst. He got better after he found out all the mechanics that go with this. And Hal Pow's the vet, so Hal Pow gets on his. And so what you do in order to get these things going, you kick once, and then you hit the gas. If you hold the gas down and try to kick, it won't go.
Huh, okay.
The accelerator. It's like, just so I guess to keep from whiskey throttling.
Yeah.
Fail. So Hal Pow is getting very mad at himself at everything because we're trying to get on these scooters and go back to the hotel, and we're all shit faced, Jay included. And Hal Pow's going in this big circle on the corner of this thing, and it's not working. He goes, fucking scooter won't work. Just it won't work. And I'm like, yeah, I'm having no problems. And we're all laughing. And Hal Pow goes, well, he goes, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with it. He goes, I'm going to go down this way. And there's a scooter down there, and if I can't get it work between now and then, I'm switching scooters. So he goes around the corner, and he's pushing, and then I don't know if he lets off just in time for the right combination. Well, he whiskey throttles right into the wall, and his scooter goes up the wall, and he takes a nice flat back bump.
Oof.
And, well, and knocks himself clean unconscious.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to show you the picture for those at home. Don't get that. I'm not going to post this on with the podcast.
Oh, Jesus.
But bleeding pretty heavy.
Yeah.
So he's out like old school TV. Like he goes out and he's snoring wide open. So I jump over the top of him and I grab his head and I want to make him, because when he wakes up, sometimes there's people have a propensity to panic.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? So I get over him and I go, man, you were out. He was out. The next day he asked what happened. He goes, I don't remember getting the scooters whatsoever. I don't remember leaving the distillery. And I go, well, you knocked yourself out. And the scooter did, it looked like for a good 8 inches was riding up the wall. And so he went out stiff armed, stiff leg. So I'm holding his head and I go, Matt. And he's staring at me. And then eventually he goes, I go, you okay? He blinks. He goes, yeah, I'm good. I go, you were unconscious. He goes, really? I go, yeah, you just knocked yourself clean out. And he goes, huh. And then the next day he goes, how long do you think I was out? I go, at least a 10 count. And Jay goes, no. It was like a minute. Like, he was out.
Jesus.
And so we get him up, and blood's coming. And we're like, maybe we shouldn't ride the scooters back. And it starts pouring down rain on us, which was the best thing possible to clean his wound off.
Oh, sure.
So we get back to the hotel. He still doesn't know really what's going on. And this is one of those situations, kids, if you're listening, don't be like us. Go right to the hospital. But we're like...
Did you not take him to the hospital?
Absolutely not. Oh, we had a whole weekend.
Jesus Christ.
So
run a weekend with a little
condition. So we get back to the hotel.
Oh, brain damage.
I was sharing a room. It was me, Hal Pow, and Jay for the first night, and then Hikus and Dwayne in the other room. So I slept on the floor, and Hal Pow the next morning goes, dude, why didn't you sleep in the bed? I mean, we've slept in plenty of beds together, he and I. And I go, I'll be honest with you, Matt, I did not want you to bleed on me. And he goes, bleed on you? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, he looks at the towels we put over his pillow, and he goes, oh, yeah, I got hurt last night. I go, no,
you got KO'd. And he goes, really? And I told him how long he was out. He goes, man, I have no memory. He's like, how did that happen? I go, well, what was funny, Matt, is you were angrily trying to force this scooter to go. Well, the scooter went. And it was like this, almost like the scooter was intentionally trying to be a smartass. Like, you keep fucking around with me? Here you go, buddy. And just, it was so glorious. The good news is, and the reason we can talk about this on a good note, he did go get an MRI. No brain swelling or no brain bleeding. But I go, well, the next morning, he goes, how about, do you go think I got a concussion? I go, oh, you have a concussion. It's not a matter of if, it's how bad. And he goes, he was telling me, he goes, yeah, brain swelling, no bleeding, I'm good. And he said, he goes, and I asked the doctor about concussion. I said, Matt, I told you. Absolutely. He goes, hey, that's the word the doctor used.
He's probably lucky that he didn't go front side. Gonna bust some teeth open.
No, because he drove into the wall, he had no choice. I mean, the way he took Willie into the wall, he had no choice to go back. Like, he literally whiskey throttled, so it popped out from under. And these things, so if they don't have a good charge, like Dwayne's didn't on night one, you don't get to go very fast. But it's hard to believe that it found enough power to throw him off of it in the first night. Well, it's funny, too, is we get back and we're telling the story. And I'm going to tell people my code to my tablet. That's okay. But this was a par for the night, how drunk we were. Dwayne goes, hey, can I get on your iPad? And I go, yeah. He goes, what's your code? I go, 246810. And he stares in space. He goes, okay, the 24th day, 8. He goes, I don't know that bird. He goes, what's the significance of that? I go, well, it's all even numbers. And he goes, he just shut it. He goes, yeah, I'm fucking drunk. And he goes back to his room. So this, like I said, it poured down rain on us for like 8 blocks we walked. And he's like, why is my shit soaked? I go, dude, you are in trouble. And he didn't drink the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, probably a smart move.
Probably a good idea.
He did. Well, I take it back. He woke up and he needed some Aleve, so he washed it down with scotch. And then I reminded him that he knocked himself out. And then he read side effects of concussion. He goes, I probably shouldn't have drank that scotch. And I said, you know what, Matt? You probably shouldn't drink scotch at 8 in the morning anyway. Like, I mean,
that's your issue. Yeah, Jesus.
So it was, I wish Jay could be here to tell. And he'll probably, the next podcast, he'll at least corroborate the story a little bit and have a good laugh. His reaction to the whole thing was the best. Because as soon as we started walking, he goes, I'm in a story now. That's great. Like, yeah, you win. You won this trip. But anyway, there was a lot of cool stuff that did happen over the weekend. That was definitely the most notable. But that's part of the reason. So one of the reasons John found out about the weekend is it was his birthday Sunday. I go, hey, buddy, happy birthday. And he goes, hey, thanks, man. I go, I got a present for you. And I told him the story. I was like, this is probably the best birthday present you could give your best friends.
Wow. Yes.
So anyway, so let's get off of that. And let's transition into the John being in town.
Guest of honor?
Yeah. For those that don't know.
Fourth time on the show?
Third or fourth.
Third. Okay.
And so John is, and we're not going to bog down with like the over details, but what you do for a living, I think it's interesting enough in the times we live in. But John's a realtor. What's it like right now for people in this world? In fact, I know, and I just found out that he's not a very good one. He just lost a house. And I said, 100% of the stories I know about you, you lost a house.
So wait, how do you lose a house? I mean, it's pretty hard to. Was it like David Copperfield? Like,
offers going way above.
Yeah. But I said, I go, the only denominator I know in this whole equation is you. You suck. But that's not true. But how is it? I mean, your phone, you get a lot of texts, but you're not blowing up all day.
No, it's not bad. You know, when you're busy, you're busy, and you know, buyers are a little fatigued right now. So, you know, prices are starting to come down just a little bit. They're still higher than they've ever been. But you see people that are sellers that are trying to get extreme prices, and it's not working as much anymore.
That's good.
And that could be just because it's August. People don't like to move their kids in August.
So sure, that makes sense.
A natural slowdown in August.
Yeah.
September will tell. If we get, you know, things kick back up in September, we'll be able to see.
I've felt so horrible for people in the last 18 months trying to buy a house. It just sounds like American Horror Story, trying to build or buy a house right now.
Yeah. Instead of double feature, it's American Horror Story season 12, The Real Estate.
Try making those phone calls when people lose a house.
Yeah.
You know, and we've, you know, I've lost anywhere from 50 to, you know, 10,000 over to 100,000 over.
So wow.
People are losing. And it's a higher price point where I'm at.
Sure. We made it. We had a little small discussion about how many people I know that are mortgage officers and stuff. And he said that's, you know, John made a good point. Because right now that's low hanging fruit. You're making money right now.
Yeah.
People are just calling in. And refis are
high. Yeah.
Because everything's lower. And you know, interest rates are all-time lows still.
But on the upside, it affords you the ability to get away for the weekend for no other good reason than to drink and do fantasy football and record a podcast.
There you go.
But
with your favorite co-host.
Yeah, with your favorite co-host. Yeah.
Absolutely.
He did. I mean, you and I both work in a related field. I don't really talk about on air what I do, so no one ever knows what I do or knows who I work for. But do you think there's an end? Do you see an end?
It can't sustain
itself.
There's no way that it can sustain the growth.
Yeah.
It'll have to level off. I mean, we're not in a bubble.
The only thing that'll cause it to grow again is, and this is not out of the realm of possibility, another pandemic hits. Because it went completely the opposite way. People thought that the pandemic was going to slow things down. But what it did is the millennials that were living in these giant cubes with zero space decided, well, actually, we would rather have 2,000 square feet in the backyard if we're going to be locked in at home.
Especially if they're remote, you know.
Yeah.
Remote working. It doesn't matter if you have to drive 45 minutes to the office if you only go one day a week.
Yeah. Right? So. Yeah. So if that, and it's, we're not, listen, we're not outside the realm of a pandemic locking people back down again because there are dumb people. I don't think it'll happen to the extreme it did before, but there's still a lot of stubborn people that don't believe the thing was real. So
sure,
it has the possibility of coming back.
Yeah. Well, you can see that by the statistics themselves, right?
Well, I mean, part of my job is calling on hospitals, and I'm probably in at least one a week, and I ask, you know, every manager, so what's going on? And it's starting to get bad again. And
I'm going to have to ask you to scoot your chair back a little bit.
Really?
Now that you're in hospitals once a week.
Just go ahead. Yeah, wear a mask.
Just a seat, please. Yeah. We're going to need you to back up. No.
Yeah, it's just all the unvaccinated people. We don't have to get into all the weeds of all that stuff, but... you know, just the little things right now, like trying to get an elective surgery. Good luck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I'm getting a MRI on my back Monday, and I hope that, one, I don't want to have surgery anyway, but two, if I have it, I want to get it this year because we've already met our deductible.
So. Yeah. No.
But that's still fingers crossed, you know. Who knows? But anyway, so one thing that other people don't know about John Shannon is right now as he sits here, he's wearing an Arkansas Razorback shirt because he's a massive Razorback fan, so much so that, and I'm quoting Hal Pal, he has one of the worst tattoos of all time. he has an Arkansas Razorback tattoo.
He's beautiful.
Yeah.
Was it a picture of Nolan Richardson, like giving like a thumbs up?
That would be better.
So, Booker for three. Scotty Thurman, I mean, sorry. Booker was Saint, Mizzou. Yeah, Mizzou. But Scotty Thurman for three. But how about since we do know that, like we tease, that this is going to be pretty much a sports-centric talk, and we're going to get into in the inappropriately titled Throw to Missy segment, we're going to get into like some quick hits on AEW here in a little bit.
Sure.
But we were talking earlier about SEC, and he was asking me how much of the Texas waves have been made about, you know, with the SEC now. And I told him, I don't really pay much attention. I mean, Tom would be a better person to ask for that. But, you know, SEC just gets bigger and stronger all the time.
Yeah, I mean...
It's caused the other three big ones to have a handshake, I'm your friend deal.
Eventually, I mean, the writing's on the wall. I bet within the decade, the Power Five conferences are just going to break away. And you may, hopefully, if they break away, you'll see some realignment where the conferences don't necessarily matter as much. You know, I want Mizzou to play for the championship, not that they ever would, but have at least a chance in the Power Five structure. But I would also like more geographical rivalries that make sense. Like Arkansas makes sense.
Yeah.
Kentucky makes sense in the SEC, and maybe Vanderbilt. You know, those are day trips. But everything else, I mean, like playing Florida, doesn't matter how.
And Kansas was the big one, then we lost that.
Kansas.
Well, they did agree to play. But it's not like it used to be.
Right.
Yeah. It's a couple of years, right, until the KU and Mizzou play in football again?
Off the top of my head. Oh, you know, they got these things called phones. I'll look it up.
You got a Google machine in your pocket.
I think it's 2026 is when that starts.
Yeah, one of the biggest things is the Arkansas-Texas. Me growing up, I hated Texas. I can't even type Texas unless I'm talking to a client. I literally will type T-E-X-A-S-S. I just can't do it. I can't bring myself to do it.
That's why you got a tattoo for the Rage Rats.
And
you're
definitely do the horns.
Can't do that
down.
Anymore.
Hey, well,
can't, you know, do that anymore. That's a flag.
They can't penalize me.
Yeah, that's a flag.
So.
What do you think of that, Tommy?
I think it's ridiculous.
It's dumb.
I mean, the thing about it is...
Is it more or less done than the taunting in the NFL right now?
Oh.
Which is pretty dumb.
That's
I mean, Texas football has kind of been irrelevant for... Are we going on 15 years now?
Yeah.
At least 10.
Yeah, it's been since Vince Young left.
They've been rebuilding for 10 years.
Yep, and they're on their fourth coach.
I mean, look, Razorback, I have no room to talk. Yeah. But, you know,
but you they also don't act like the big swinging dick in town either with your own network and basically caused the Big 12, which was a fine conference still around, obviously. But
there was one time when it was one of the big conferences.
Yeah.
And then it... Then everybody jumped ship.
When the Big 12 was formed in 95?
Yeah, we were Big 8 before that.
At least the third biggest powerful conference at the time. Yeah. And then quickly Texas just started bullying people around and nobody liked it. And then poof.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we left the Southwest Conference, Arkansas, left the Southwest Conference in 91, 92.
Sounds right, 91.
And then I think everything imploded after that when the Big 8 went to the Big 12 and the... In the Southwest Conference.
And then,
2025.
And honestly, I think Texas A&M leaving and coming to the SEC probably put the writing on the wall for everything in the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, Mizzou too. I mean,
it was A&M and Mizzou at the same time, wasn't it?
It was A&M and Mizzou at the same time.
A&M left first, I'm pretty sure.
I think A&M leaving was probably a bigger blow for the Texas schools and Oklahoma than Mizzou was. Because Mizzou's biggest rivalry has always been KU.
Well, yeah, and I agree with you. You know, the funny thing is, at the time, we're going, you know, back 10 years ago, I think it has been now, Mizzou really wanted to get in the Big Ten. And the Big Ten said no. And I got to think the Big Ten, if they could go back in history and reverse that, would have been like, come on in.
Yeah, kicking themselves in the ass right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Side note, my daughter, my oldest daughter, is now working at the Rally House where they have Missouri-based sports and St. Louis-based sports clothing and stuff. I've been sitting on this one for a while, too. She said, the good news is, if Tom needs a new pair of yellow pants, I can help him get them.
Whoa! Yeah, I definitely do.
You want to move those down, if they're good?
Yeah.
I'll grab one of the other ones. I don't care.
Yeah, I'll take another one. College football, you know, it's so funny. Growing up, college football was probably one of my least favorite sports because Mizzou was so god-awful.
Yeah.
But... You know, once Mizzou got good, you know, obviously a little bit of a bandwagoner, but the landscape of college football has changed as well. Way more access to games now. It's a better looking product, I feel like, than the NFL, especially in the last 6 to 8 years. College football is probably my favorite sport to watch. It's the only sport, really, nowadays I watch a regular season game that does not include my team.
Oh, I'll be darned. Yeah. So I told him today, so those that don't know, when Mizzou came over to the SEC, we did get the easier draw initially when we came over.
Correct.
But we also won, or they did. I'm not a we. I didn't graduate there. But they also won.
Hey, you're from here. You're a true son.
But the big setback for Mizzou was cancer, right? Gary Pinkle? I mean...
Well, the big setback, you could argue, is probably the whole concerned student 1950 movement.
But that was all around... I mean, that all happened
That
so
all happened
close.
In that same year,
And Pinkle, though, had created himself to be... And it's certainly not... This is not news to people, but certainly when you're in a power conference or when you're a big-time Division I college... The most powerful man in your school, if your school is good at sports, is your head coach at football.
Yeah.
So Pinkle, were he able to stay around through that whole thing, could have been the face of trying to move past it, getting the players united, maybe using that as doing something positive, which a lot of schools have done in the past and guys have done. But when he went down with cancer and just it was out of nowhere left. They haven't rebounded since.
Well, they've got Drinkwitz, who is creating a lot of buzz. But I want to go back to Pinkle one quick second here. I think Gary Pinkle is one of the most underrated college football coaches of all time. And the reason I say that, obviously, I'm a true son. But ESPN came out with their top 150 college football coaches of all time list recently. Gary Pinkle's not even in the top 150. You know, this is a guy who I believe won 100 games at two different schools. He's one of the few people who's done that.
That's huge.
He never got the big win. You know, I think he was like 1-6 in conference championship games.
Yeah, but he went to bowl games with teams that in conferences where you wouldn't have thought they were going to.
Right. I mean, he resurrected it's very hard to resurrect a crappy college football program. It is damn near impossible.
And when he got to Mizzou, the knock on him was he's a great regular season coach, but he can't win you a big game. That was his knock coming in.
And his recruiting was, I mean, it's kind of revisionist history, but Pinkle was on the verge of getting fired that year before 07 when they really took off.
And that were, his first 3 years and their first 3 years in the SEC, they had more first-round draft picks than every other team in the SEC. That great. Was big with the Alden Smiths, with all the – with Justin Smith, with all those
guys. Well, Justin Smith wasn't him. That was
– But that was a little earlier. Yeah.
But Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert. You
take that first-round pick away from him.
Yeah.
I think Pinkel was a great development coach. I don't think –
A tight ends, a huge amount of tight ends.
Absolutely. And, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but Missouri, I'm not even sure where Missouri's big recruitment pool comes from.
It's a good question.
Well, it's mostly the St. Louis and Western Illinois area. And then they also, during the Pinkel era, what they were really good at was going to 2- and 3-star kids and saying, hey, A&M, UT, Oklahoma, they don't want you, but we do.
Right.
You want to play big-time football, you come here. And like that's what you said, the development came in.
Absolutely. I think he's a great developmental coach.
And back to Drinkwitz here, where, I mean, this guy gets it. It's weird having a college football coach younger than you.
Yeah.
He's a year younger than me. But he understands that recruitment social media game that few do. He's got to prove it on the field.
He?
He's 38.
But he's still old. Isn't he still older than McVay?
And the Rams?
Yeah.
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 Isn't that insane?
It is.
A Super Absolutely Bowl head coach. That's insane.
I really hope that rumor is true that he banged Jared Goff's girlfriend. That's
that would be true.
You guys not heard that?
No, I did not hear that.
I don't know if it's true, but yeah.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome, though. But previously in the dark days of Mizzou sports, I mean, we've certainly not been immune to those fun stories. Remember
Linus Klaza and Quinn Snyder?
Quinn Snyder and players in prison calling.
Yeah. God. Terrible.
That is the best.
Well, Shannon is the guest of honor, so I feel like the floor should be yours. How excited are you about Sam Pittman in year two?
I'm super excited. You know, a lot like Eli Drinkwitz. He gets Arkansas.
Yes.
He speaks to the fans. He's a blue-collar guy. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw recently that he was at SEC Media Days. He stole the show, and then he went on a bunch of the tours, and I think it was the Barstool guys or somebody had him on there. We're talking about the picture of him when he played at Pitt State in Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
He was sitting on the bench, and he had a beer by his foot, a Coors Light, and a silver bullet sitting there. And he said he was injured that game, and he wanted to go in and play a couple of games. It was the spring game. And he came back out, and he just had a cooler there, and he just had a few and invited the rest of the offensive line over to
How
to do
old
that.
Is Sam Pittman?
He's in his 60s.
That's what I thought.
He has said no matter what, win, lose, fired, retired, this is his last job.
Sure. Which
makes sense.
His wife's from Arkansas. They have a vacation home down in Hot Springs now, and he's got more money in his 60s than he'll ever
know what to do with. You know, the one thing about Arkansas, too, and certainly we can remember this, but there is – there's a generation of people that are just sports fans and not necessarily Arkansas fans, don't remember what it was like to be a fan of Arkansas in the 90s with the basketball teams, Absolutely. With some good football teams, with some baseball teams, and they're relevant in baseball still. Yeah. But when you go to Arkansas, you're not going there like, you know, with Mizzou football. You're going there with a team with some history. You're going to be a Hall of Fame athletic director. You know, you've got the lot of history that you got to live up to.
Absolutely.
And it's not, of course, it's not like Ohio State or Michigan and all those fucking schools or Alabama. But, you know, we can count all those schools on two hands, you know, in football. There's less than 10 historically great institutions in football. And unfortunately, they historically keep winning, you know. But there is all these other schools that do pretty good. Like Mizzou, certainly. You know, whether they're up and down in football or even basketball, and there was a time when basketball was the heart of Missouri and Columbia, when Storm and Norman, and then, you know, even Snyder, there was even some good years under Snyder, team-wise, with Hunt and all those guys. But, you know, people don't realize, too, power wrestling program, you know, also another team that's had some good baseball teams here and there. And there's you go to these schools and people get so football-centric. And like with Arkansas especially, you don't understand that you're getting into something that there is a sustained history of success across the board in sports. And somebody's got to, like to what you guys both said, you got to come in and embrace that and use it to your advantage. Use the atmosphere to your advantage.
You're talking as an athletic director?
No, just anything. Like a head coach. Like even though he gets Mizzou football or gets Arkansas football, he also gets how to sell the school and sell the image. And you don't have to just go in and concentrate on history of your sport. There's a lot of things you can put together as a PR and marketing guy is one of the qualifications to be a good head coach.
Absolutely.
And they're getting
it. Well, even more now, and we can talk about this later if you want to, but the NIL. I mean, marketing is probably job number one if you're going to get high-level recruits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we have an athletic director that gets it. We have, before everything was even signed and voted on in Arkansas for the NIL, we had a whole new division that was already created that had 22 employees.
That's great.
Before it was even legal.
And I'm glad
they were getting up to speed and getting it all ready to go.
And I'm glad Mizzou got rid of Sterk because he clearly wanted no part of that. And this woman that we got from UNLV, she seems like she gets that. And
she's from Vegas, so that's shady past.
Look, I had a lot of friends ask me what my thoughts were. I was like, I actually didn't know who the hell this person was until, like, you know, the rumors. You know, I think until she got hired. But look, if you're the athletic director, at the end of the day, when Jeremy touched on, you know, baseball programs, wrestling programs, you know, soccer, whatever, that's all fine and good. But as an athletic director, you have three jobs at a major university. Make sure your football team is good. Make sure your basketball team is good on the men's side. And jerk off, figuratively, donors. Absolutely. That's it.
No,
that's it.
Or literally, if that's how you get it.
I mean, we have two of the biggest, so they're in Arkansas. Jerry Jones or Walmart.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, we've got money to spare.
Yeah. Speaking of Jerry Jones, I'm caught up on Hard Knocks this season, and I hate the Dallas Cowboys. Like, the 49ers are by far my favorite team in the NFL. And then there's a lot of teams that I kind of like. Like, I like the Buffalo Bills this year.
I like the
team they put out. I don't hate Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. I don't hate them.
Talk about a guy who's, I don't know how, just made a face turn. Like, I hate that guy's guts. And
when you had Bobby Heenan as your manager, you know, for all those years, and Bill Belichick, easy to be.
When they beat the Rams in that Super Bowl that I really needed them to win, that's when the face turn happened.
Yeah. Well, but so I hate the Dallas Cowboys, but I wasn't going to watch this Hard Knocks, but I was down here working, so I turned it on. I got to tell you, Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott are so fun when they're to watch.
Oh, sure.
That it's kind of made me enjoy watching this Hard Knocks with the Dallas Cowboys. Still hate Dallas. Still want them to lose.
Yeah.
They did this really cool thing, too, where they did a drone fly through, and they made a video for, like, a promo video of the new complex that is fully open, the training facility. That is the crown jewel of football stadiums and complexes. Like, Jerry Jones has built Mecca. Now, maybe Kroenke will beat it. I don't know. But Jerry Jones has certainly, if you are an NFL football player and you are, it's coming down to you and a couple teams, and, you know, money is the reason.
Sure.
That facility may win it out for you there in Dallas. It's unbelievable. But it's fun. Missy's mad at me for not letting her watch it, but it's pretty fun.
Why would you let her watch it?
I didn't ask her
because she likes Hard Knocks, but I wasn't going to watch it because I hate the Cowboys so much.
Yeah.
So I just watched it, and then I didn't stop watching it. So she comes downstairs and she's like, "Three episodes what the
in,
fuck?
And yeah."
And I told her I'll go back and rewatch them. I just love football that much, but she gets mad at me and she takes a hard stance when things.
That's why I watch shows secretly so my wife can't get mad.
I hesitate to say this knowing the climate we live in, but she's very much like a woman in the sense that she will dig her heels in for no reason.
But she doesn't hold a grudge at all either.
No. She's probably getting her hair done the whole day getting mad at me about watching Hard Knocks.
Well, speaking of heels, let me tell you, the heel show on Starz has been a treat. I've been really enjoying that.
How many episodes is it now?
Yeah, episode 3 will be tomorrow night.
Okay.
So we're 2 in. I'm guessing neither one of you have watched this show.
No, and it features a genre actor and long-running Green Arrow, Stephen Amell.
Yes, and he does a wonderful job as the heel.
Also, a lifelong wrestling fan, and for all intents and purposes, it's him and Hugh Jackman who made fans the happiest when they went into WWE. Amell worked a match where he really worked a match.
Yes.
So he's got some chops, so to speak, when it comes to pro wrestling.
Yeah. It's been a good show. It reminds me of Friday Night Lights in the way...
Only for pro wrestling.
Only for pro wrestling. So if you guys have Starz, I highly recommend you checking it out.
And I asked you this, and we went back and forth in a little text. They don't, for you know what shoot and work means in pro wrestling. A shoot is a real fight, and a work is a fake fight. The angle. You work an angle. You shoot a promo when you go you really say, like, sometimes you'll hear guys, like, speaking of, we'll touch on it later, like CM Punk's infamous pipe bomb promo in WWE is considered the greatest promo of all time, and all they did was gave him, like, 3.5 minutes and go, say whatever you want. So he did a shoot promo where he talked about all the people he was mad at. Well, does the show, and I asked you this, and you kind of gave me an answer, do they look at the matches on the show as a shoot, or... They are working angles. Right?
No, it's
they're
working
treating
angles.
It like what pro wrestling really
is. So you go backstage.
That was my fear based on the trailer. It looked like I was like, you know, the way it looked, it was like, oh, they're showing it wrestling is like if it were a real fight, but they're not, because I wanted to see a show about really the politics and the
and that's what that is. So like Stephen Amell is him and his brother are the two main stars of a small time wrestling promotion in Northern Georgia. Their dad used to run it.
That's a deep south.
Yes. His dad has passed away. And
would be Jerry Jarrett territory? Is that where that would be? Or who would, I can't remember who that was. Chicken salad. That's what
it is. So Stephen Amell is the heel and the champion in the company right now. His brother is the face. And I won't go into the weeds too much, but one of the kind of running jokes of the show, at least, it's not treated as a joke. And Stephen Amell, he's the booker, which means that he writes the scripts. And he's always like doing family stuff of his wife. And his kid's like, I got to work on that script. They've only shown 6 wrestlers in the promotion so far. I'm like,
how big is your script?
How long does the script take to write? I mean, come on. You know, you're not going to mow the lawn for 2 months because you're working on the scripts. A little silly. Also, for those of you so inclined, a lot of nice booby in the show. I don't see that enough these days in Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't get enough tits anymore.
No.
I'm taking a stance right now.
I am pro boobs.
We were talking about it last night a little bit, and you know, we always give our weekly updates on Ted Lasso.
Are we doing a weekly update? Can we talk about last night's?
He hasn't watched it yet, so we don't want to get too into it, but so what John said, and some of the internet's turning on Ted Lasso. Anything that gets massively popular, it ends up getting hate.
True.
And people are
this country sucks.
People are starting to talk about it like, well, it's, you know, it's too positive, it's this, it's that. And like John said, there's no real villain this year. Well, the real villain is apparently, you know, we saw the real villain pop up last night on yesterday's episode, and it's going to take a dark turn because both Bill Lawrence and Jason Sudeikis said, we've got a 3-act story we want to tell, and this is our Empire Strikes Back, meaning it's not going to end on a high note. Something happening. Now, there's been a lot to root for. Roy Kent's the greatest character.
Absolutely best.
Good.
And we saw, you know, we saw some good stuff happen, Nate, in this last episode. But the thing that popped up is, you know, you knew the therapist was going to come into play more than she has.
But she's been a face. They teased her as a heel. She's been a face.
Been a face. But I think we're going to see what the problems are. But I, you know, for all the people saying, well, this is not as good a season, I love it.
No, I'm really enjoying it, too. The one thing about last night's episode, and I won't spoil it too much, and I think, Jeremy, I'm going to speak in code, not to spoil it for Shannon.
Green, blue, purple, square, triangle, dot, dot, dash. I
hashtag,
agree.
I love it. The last 2 or 3 weeks, they were teasing a potential romance angle that I was like telling my wife, like, they better not be doing this.
But
and
Missy has been vehemently against it.
It would have been horrible.
It would have been horribly on the nose.
But
it would have
been bad. But what they do instead, the swerve
with
they
great
pull,
swerve.
It's fucking awesome.
It's good.
It is awesome.
I'm very curious to see where it goes. But no,
also the best, the nicest person on the show.
Come on, man.
I know, but that doesn't say much.
This is classic Jeremy. I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm going to tell you 90%.
I mean, it's one or two people now.
People got to figure that out.
Yeah.
And one of them's married. So.
The Christmas episode, though, was so far this year, one of my favorite all-time Christmas episodes ever made.
It was very good. The part that got me the most so far this season is, you know, they're playing Rolling Stones' Rainbow, which is a fantastic song.
Yes.
And Roy, you know, doing that whole comedy, and he just goes, shh. You had me at coach. And Beard goes
Beard also had, and this is the only joke I'll sell from last night's episode. My favorite joke of the whole season so far is when Jamie Tart looked at Coach Beard, goes, and they kind of got awkwardly left in the room, just those two, and there's like a few seconds to go by, and he looks at Coach Beard and he goes, I don't know how to talk to you. And Coach Beard goes, then it's working. And then he just turns and walks out of the room.
You know, if I have one criticism of this season, which I would give right now, seeing Stan, probably 8.5 out of 10.
Dude, how long you been on?
Yeah, but like I'm never here anymore. So what
it's
is it?
Five.
Like?
It's All right. a five
4 out of 5.
There you go. Okay.
4.25 out of 5. I feel like they went a little too quickly on Jimmy Tartt.
He just ruined his own division.
Yeah.
And then he added the extra 0.25 back into it.
Wait, no. That would have been 8.5 out of 10.
No, no, you originally go 4. Then you 0.25. Go 4.25.
Well, I don't think we do. But I don't think we do 0.25s on the map. Fuck it. All right. Anyway. I wish they had dragged out Jamie's face turn a little bit.
Yeah.
They've kind of he's been kind of buried a little bit, but this is a good episode
this for him. This was a very good episode for Jamie Tartt. Yeah.
Great show. Only show I watch with my wife.
Jamie Tartt,
I hardly ever hear my wife just crack up out loud. And then you had me at Coach.
Oh, yeah.
She died.
Oh, yeah.
And we were laying in bed in the whole bed.
There's a great Diamond Dogs moment that involves Roy Kent in this one. I can't wait for you to watch it. We should probably watch it anyway.
Neither of you.
Michelle probably wouldn't get mad, so.
Have you ever watched BoJack Horseman?
No.
Okay, and you have never watched it either.
No, but I'll tell you a BoJack Horseman related story as soon as you're done with it.
So I did see on the interwebs somebody comment on a character in BoJack Horseman. His name is Mr. Peanut Butter. And somebody was like, Ted Lasso is basically Mr. Peanut Butter and BoJack Horseman. And it was like that episode of South Park with the manatees and the jokes.
Oh,
and I was
yeah.
just like, God damn it, that's true.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Because it's like, you know, everything's like, well, I don't know about that, but it's like something like this and something like that.
Yeah, oh,
and, it's like, and that's like, yeah, that's every joke that Ted has.
I don't mind. I still love it. I'll tell you this. I've been watching on, and I mentioned it on the show last week, the history of the sitcom on, I can't remember what channel. It's on one of the news channels or something, but this is like week 6. Well, they got into a surreal sitcom, and BoJack Horseman made it, and they did a really good review of BoJack Horseman talking about
great show.
It. Yeah, I know you've been saying it from the top of the mountains for a long time. It's one of the great, and they really did it. I mean, they were like, because they started with, which something that I didn't know, and I will talk about this. The Flintstones, a sitcom.
Yes, absolutely.
Not a cartoon. It aired in primetime.
You didn't know that?
I never knew that. So it was a sitcom, and they talked about it, and they said, you know, that was the precursor to The Simpsons, which they said there's an argument to be made, even in later seasons not being great, that Simpsons might be the greatest sitcom of all time for sustained longevity.
It is.
Fans and then they got to South Park and then they got to BoJack Horseman and they were like you know they took it to that direction but I just thought that you'd be excited that BoJack Horseman made it
and I've never watched it but I mean I have to tip the cap to Bob's Burgers apparently that is a fantastic
show. I've watched 2 or 3 episodes and I laugh every time.
Yeah, I've watched it.
I laugh way too hard to not watch more episodes. If that makes sense.
What is Dallas, or was it not Dallas, Days? Is that what they, you know, when you got a bunch of people together?
What?
I don't know. I'm pulling a bender, messing a word up. What is the Dance. Thank you.
Okay. You really bendered it.
I really did. That's terrible. I'm only on beer too.
You
too.
Have a Dais. Okay.
Terrible. What are your thoughts on Archer?
Oh, okay. So I'll give you my
rated, underrated, overrated for both of you.
So for the longest time, very rated and was very good. And Missy loves it. Missy loved Archer. They had the dream season, and it felt like that was kind of their jump the shark.
Okay.
And it's kind of went downhill since then. Maybe even the Miami Vice season was like maybe the one right before the dream season.
Towards the end of it, I think.
First 3-4 seasons, I can't remember how many are, were really good. In fact, there's a book called How to Archer.
Okay.
That is written by Archer, so it's in the voice of the character.
Which I love Jonathan Benjamin, but...
And, well, not the real voice, but the guy, the creator who wrote it, he wrote it from his perspective.
Ah, gotcha.
And at the funny, it's because at the end of the book, he talks about coming to a point in career where somebody wanted him to write a memoir and how to, you know, what it takes to be a successful spy. And he goes, and they were paying me for 1,000 or so many thousand words. And oh shit, I just realized that I come up about 600 words short. So he just goes snake, till the end of the book. And so he fits all of his work. I mean, but just subtle jokes like
that's
that.
Good. That's good.
Yeah. I only watched the first 2-3 seasons and I loved them.
Yeah.
But Missy kept going.
Okay. I mean, it's fine. I think it's a little overrated. I feel like every show is just a bunch of people yelling at each other, which if I wanted that, I'd just, you know, tune into my house.
Yeah.
Bunch of people yelling at each other.
It's like every show, though. Like, the longer it goes, the more it lends itself to getting overrated.
Yes, because, well, comedies especially, because what happens with comedies is characters develop their traits, and then their traits become more exaggerated. So by season 4 or 5, then, like, it's like, this person would never do that.
Yeah, you're
in like, order this to... person's a fucking... So, like, The Office is a perfect example. everybody on the show at the end is a fucking psychopath.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Some of the greatest things you find on Facebook and the internet is the evilness of Pam Beasley.
Terrible person.
Yeah. Not a good person.
Terrible.
Yep.
Horrible person.
Yeah. In fact, Dwight Schrute may be the best person on the show because he never left his morals. You know, he never changed from who he was.
He became more open and more of an extrovert.
By the end of it, yeah. Yeah.
He probably has the greatest character art.
Yeah. 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 Still, show, we were stuck in the hotel. Well, not stuck in the hotel room, but came back for a little bit of nap in between runs at the show. And the last episode happened to be on. So we just sat, me, Jay, and Halpal watched the last episode of Office again.
As somebody who does a lot of business traveling these days, The Office is the perfect I'm in the hotel drinking a beer show.
Yeah.
And it's almost always on.
Yes, it is.
And bourbon. Now, Office are ridiculousness. You can always find them on TV.
I never get tired of people tweeting out the MTV weekly schedule. And it's ridiculousness. Like, ridiculousness, except for a little sliver of the challenge on one night for an hour.
We still watch it, by the way, but we're over the spot. Format. We want to go back to a sport format like Bad Blood or X's or things like that.
We have tuned out on the challenge.
CT lost weight. He's CT.
How's he doing?
Under the radar, and that's where CT likes to be.
He's like a coiled snake.
Lay in the bushes and strike when need to. There's so many with all these rookies. And
he has three titles?
Yes, now, because he won this last season.
Nice. Good for him.
At four, technically, counting All-Stars, like he did that celebrity one he won where him and T.O. almost got in a fight.
I mean, like, it goes Blue Stanley Cup, Cardinals in 06, because I don't remember 82, CT winning his first championship. Like, the three most emotional times for me as a sports fan.
T.O. says he's going to come back. He thinks he might be able to come back at 47 years old.
To play football?
Yeah. And if you look at him... He looks like he could come back.
He's a specimen.
Because I said, like, didn't he do the challenge once?
Yeah, he did. Well, that's when him and CT almost got a fight. He ended up leaving.
Yeah.
Because CT brought it up. Like, the only reason you're here is a paycheck. Everybody knows you lost $3.5 million in taxes. You know? And he got mad. And CT's, he got up like he was going to fight. CT goes, you want to fight me? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to fight? And everybody's like, you know, CT will fight him. He might lose it to T.O., but he will fight him.
Oh, CT would whoop that ass, I think.
Yeah, CT's a scrapper. It's a different mentality of a person that's willing to just fight.
Yeah.
We were talking about it with a friend that we knew who was in great shape, had all the reason to hate John Shannon to this day, and just didn't have a killer instinct in him, so he would have been in trouble, you know?
Well, what would bring me back to the challenge is if they have a milk crate challenge.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen this white Mike guy? This guy is incredible.
I have not seen White Mike.
Right, have you seen the milk crate challenge?
Yeah. Have you seen the guy rolling a blunt?
That's White Mike.
That made it. Oh, is that White Mike?
So White Mike did that. He rolled a blunt while doing the milk crate challenge. And then this morning I saw where he did it backwards.
Oh.
He may be the greatest athlete of all time.
So
somebody died recently.
I didn't realize.
Oh, the one with the shooting? That one?
No, there was three people died with that one.
Yes.
But there was a girl did it. Like a white girl on a college campus somewhere did it. And
well, you're going to die. You do the milk.
Well, they were doing it right beside a sidewalk.
No, I'll do it.
I mean, you do the gallon of milk challenge, you die. You do the cinnamon challenge, you die. People are going to die the more they do dumb shit.
See, when I feel like I hear stuff like that, I just think of the show 6 Feet Under.
Yeah.
Good show. Like the little... the one where the gal gets out because of all the angels floating up in the air. She's like, it's the... What is it? What do they call it? The rapture?
Oh, the rapture.
And she gets smoked by a bus.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was... Like, when I first realized that there was a meme or there was a trend for the milkshake, I saw like a... Just scrolling through my timeline and I saw somebody walking up with milk crates. I was like, oh, dummy. And, you know, it kept going. And then I saw actually WWE or some wrestler like KO... Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens in it?
No. He posted a pic, said, how about we change this year's TLC to milk crates? You know, ladder, money in the bank. Now, instead of ladders, using milk crates. And then I was like, okay, what is this? And then I ran down the rabbit hole in TikTok of dumb fucks.
What, did you see it in prison? Have you seen the TikToks of them do it in prison?
No.
Yeah.
It's when you get up, break your arm and get to go to the infirmary for a little while.
Yeah. Oh, I saw the guy that posted the video. He's like, how are they doing this in prison?
Well, that's a good question.
You know the guards are betting money on it.
Where are all these milk crates coming from?
I guess they're in the hood a lot.
Oh, John, it flipped over for you. 30-16, Nebraska's beating Illinois.
Well, speaking of Illinois football, how do you feel about old Burt taking over and fighting Illini?
This is why he wanted to watch this game.
So I think I would say 60-40 split in Arkansas.
Okay.
That Burt's a good guy.
Yeah.
Couldn't put it together, and Rumor mongering, I think he had an alcohol problem, and I think he's fixed it.
Okay.
He's a big boy now.
But he lost. Well, Sam Pittman was offensive line coach when he came in.
Yes.
And I think he had great assistance when he first got there, and he did really well.
Okay.
And I think he pissed a lot of people off.
Okay.
For whatever reason, they left, and he got people in that he just wasn't able to continue to develop his own staff, let alone the players. He was always a good coach. X's and O's, I think.
Yeah.
But he just couldn't put it together.
I think he inherited, obviously, a good situation in Wisconsin. It seems like the Badgers kind of figured it out, and he's like, oh, shit, I got to get the fuck out of town.
Yeah.
It's like when you're at a job, and you're like, ooh, they know what I'm not good at my job anymore.
You can see the arc there.
Yeah.
Where the first couple of years, he had a pretty good team, but he inherited most of those players.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he obviously, if you put him in the... I don't think he's in the bottom tier of Arkansas coaches.
Okay.
I think he's right set in the middle.
Who is the worst Arkansas football coach in your life?
Well, think of
John L. Smith would be the...
Oh, my God. I forgot about that
the
guy.
The year that we were chopped in going into the season. It was right after Petrino on the motorcycle. And it just went downhill from there.
So you put him below Petrino?
I think Petrino was a great coach. I think he's
a bad person.
I think he's a horrible person.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's just, everywhere he's went, he's done nothing but...
Is he still at what? Is he at Missouri State
He's
still?
At Missouri State.
Yeah.
And they were in the playoffs last year. For what I don't know what they call anymore.
Division FCS. Two, yeah.
So
Missouri State is they're Division One in baseball and basketball and
they are.
They're just football.
They're FCS. Football. They're
and they
don't have great facilities.
No,
and they've never been able to field a really good team.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, you got
if Petrino, you're good, you're going to Arkansas or Mizzou if you're in Springfield for the most part.
Correct,
unless you get paid to go to Oklahoma State or something.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, I think the worst coach of all time in Arkansas would be Chud Morris.
Oh God! Yeah.
I mean, he destroyed Gus Malzahn's career in Auburn. I mean, Gus Malzahn was already on the hot seat in Auburn a little bit because Auburn fans are ridiculous.
They are pretty insane.
But you add Chud Morris in there, then can't do anything.
They had so many five-star quarterbacks that they could just not develop.
Yeah, absolutely.
At all.
Yeah, so I think Chad Morris was the absolute, and yes, I'm saying Chud Morris on purpose.
Oh, okay.
Because he's a fucking Chud. He's bad. He's the highest paid high school football coach in Texas.
Did he go back to
high school? Allen High School.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's so it's in Dallas.
Okay.
So he won actually last night 56-20. So in his high school, he's a Texas Hall of Fame high school coach.
Yeah.
I think that's where he belongs.
He's not even 50 yet, right?
I think lower 50s.
Okay.
Between 50 and 55, I bet. That would be my guess. I'm really hard because I have a neighbor. He'll never listen to this, so I don't have to worry about it. But I thought he was in his 60s, and he's 51.
Your neighbor?
Yeah.
Huh.
I looked at all my other neighbors after he walked away because he's a little awkward. and I was like, because I'm the oldest of all of our neighbors that hang out and drink in the neighborhood. And I looked at them all. I'm like, I'm not going to look like that in 6 years, right?
So you like when you're walking through Six Flags and the guess your age guy is there, he looks at you like a big old pigeon.
So I have no clue who that guy is. And
who? Chad Morris?
Who you're talking about, Chud Morris. But I do want to spin off that about not having a clue.
He is 52. Nice job, sir.
And see what else we don't have a clue about when it comes to Tom Hummel's game. And before we go into the throw to Missy, let's get into Tom Hummel's game. It's been so long since we had a game night from Tom Hummel.
Would you like to play a game?
Yes, we would.
All right. Here we go. In honor of, I don't even know what the hell the league is called.
This
the
year
Factory Sadness?
No, this year we're the Brotherhood of Bad Management.
All right. So...
Which is
I have a list here from 2018.
Okay.
And it is the top one-hit wonders in fantasy football from the past 15 seasons.
Okay.
So 2003 to 2018. So,
okay.
Are you familiar with the game Name That Tune?
Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this game is going to be called Name That Al Tune, former New Jersey or New York Jets wide receiver. We're going to go through, guys. I'm going to tell you the year this person had their one hit.
Buzz in.
No. We're going to do the whole
alternate.
How many. Yeah, we're going to alternate. So,
what were the years again?
We're going to go through them. So, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you the year.
Yep.
And then you get that big old brain. I can name that player in 6 clues. I can name that player in 4 clues, and we'll just kind of go down the list, all right? Jeremy, the year is 2010.
All right. And I've got to guess how many moves it's going to take me to name the player.
Yes.
I'm going to start with 4.
All right.
5.
No, you got to go down. Beat it.
Oh, I have to beat it.
If you think you can do it in fewer, or you can
2010?
Say, or you can say prove it.
One hit wonders. I'll do 3.
Ooh. Okay. I'm going to tell him to prove it.
All right.
All right.
2010. Running back. White.
Peyton Hillis.
Got it.
Yeah.
Nice. He got it in 2.
1-0. All right.
Razorback, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I got it.
All right. 2004. Okay.
I'm going to say 3.
Prove it.
All right.
All right. White. God, I should stop doing that. Okay. I feel like it really narrows it down. Wide receiver.
Ed McCaffrey.
You had another clue, sir.
I just wanted to get him.
The year he had this breakout season was as a Tennessee Titan.
As a Tennessee Titan. Oh, gosh. I can't remember the Titans receivers from that year. But let me think. Gosh, I don't remember. I can't remember the names from the Titans.
John Shannon for the steal?
I don't think it's on the tip. Like, it's right there. I don't think I could do it.
Drew Bennett.
Drew Bennett. Okay, oh, yeah. Darn it. So that's,
I would have been wrong, but
now we're back to me, right?
Yeah. Back to you. All right.
It is 1-0 after 2.
2013.
Okay. 2013, that's pretty recent. I'm going to stay. 4 is a good starting point, but I'm just going to say 3.
Cheers.
3.
Oh, boy. I might have get. I'm going to get taken. Hey, shoot or shoot.
Quarterback.
All right. Bobby Hoying.
Eagles.
Eagles. 2013. Eagles. Okay.
Started the year as a backup, though.
2013 started the year as a backup. Eagles quarterback. I mean, the only guy I can think of. How late did he go? Nick Foles.
Big Dick Nick is correct. Tie
I was just
game.
Thinking, how long was he there? But you know what? He was the backup there for so long.
He always got
to play.
Well, then he left and then came back.
That's right.
And the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's right. All right.
All right. 2007.
4.
I'm going to say 3.
Prove it.
All right. 3's a number. We won't go down to 2.
Quarterback.
All right. In 2007, right? Mm-hmm. 2007, okay.
Cleveland Brown.
Oh, boy.
Let's see. What's a good third hint for you here?
New quarterback.
I've only had 17 since then.
He was a... Let's see. What's one of the... Okay. He took the job over from Brady Quinn in 2007.
Oh, God. Oh. Brady... He took it over from Brady Quinn in 07. Quarterback. Man,
There's been too many.
I don't know.
There's been too many.
Yeah. 2003?
2007.
2007, that was 14 years ago, so they've had 23 quarterbacks since then.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean,
no clue.
I'd have to.
Colt McCoy. I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there.
I don't know.
Who is it?
Derek Anderson.
Oh my God! No way. That one's a deep one. That's a deep one. Had a good year.
I'm trying to think of a good one. God,
a Cleveland quarterback.
Somebody's got something I've heard of.
All right. So this is still 1-1 after I don't know how many rounds. Let's
4.
Let's first player to get the 3 wins this.
All right,
let's see
here
if we
go.
Can do it.
I've heard of this guy.
All right.
All right.
It's a good sign.
All right. This is unfair, but it's okay. All right. Who's up?
I think it's John. Right. No, it's me.
It's you, I think.
Me, yeah.
And you'll find out why it's unfair in a second. 2006.
I'll say 4 again.
3.
Go ahead.
Washington Redskins.
Gotcha. Oh, boy. I thought it was going to be a 49.
That's what I said, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Running back.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Got more carries after Clinton Portis had some issues.
Oh, I was going to say Clinton Portis. I don't remember who his backup was.
was that year? Who was his
06 Redskins?
06 Washington football team. Insert eye roll.
Oh, that's a tough one, huh?
I do not remember. I was going to say Clinton Portis, and I do not remember.
Remember
who his
the game's called
was.
One Hit Wonders.
Yeah, no, that would have been wrong. My goodness.
06?
06.
06, Clinton Portis. That's tough.
Man. Yeah, I don't know.
Liddell Betts.
You didn't give me a chance to steal.
Oh, did you know it?
No, but maybe I could have worked my way back
up. All right, we're at sudden death here.
All right. Yeah, okay, I mean, next point wins.
He only started five games,
next
though.
Next point wins. Wow. 1-1. And this is your turn to bid.
There's only two left. So all right, some of these I'm like, I have no idea.
Let's just do, if you got two left, let's do both of them.
All right. 2011.
Four.
I'm just going to say three.
All right.
Prove it.
He's going to make me prove it. Boy.
Quarterback.
I'm familiar with the position.
Denver Broncos.
Okay.
First round pick.
Quarterback. Denver Broncos first round pick. And it was what year? 2011?
Yep.
Who was their first round pick in 2011? This would have been... holy shit.
You didn't say white guy.
I don't know it. Man, this is really bad. We're playing really bad.
We are playing horribly.
Who you got?
First round pick in 2011.
Well, he was the first round pick in 2010.
Oh, he was first round 2010.
But 2011 is the year he had.
What's his year? I'm not happy with it. I'm filing protests.
Are we that?
Yeah, we're that.
Oh, he's thinking about it. He's on the tip of his tongue. You know what it is.
Why can I not?
You don't know it.
Tim Tebow.
Got it, baby! Oh, swish! Damn it. You know what? I didn't even think that Tebow, I forgot that he played quarterback for a year. I have a chance to tie or lose right here.
All right.
See what happens.
Who's up?
It's
for bidding.
My bid.
Your bid. 2010.
I'm going to go three.
Ooh.
Yours.
All right. I got to get the point.
Jaguar.
Okay. 2010.
2010. All Jaguar. Right. Tight end.
Oh, fuck.
First name. Also a popular car manufacturer.
Oh, boy. Car manufacturer. See, that threw me off.
You better get it, because I know it.
Well, shit. Hold on. Let me rack my brain. See, now I'm thinking car manufacturer.
Buick Smith.
It's DeLorean Bob Evans.
Farm.
Let me think. Okay, tied in Jaguars, 2011. And his name is the same of a car manufacturer.
It's not Jaguar. Jaguar.
It's high end though.
Oh, it's not Jaguar. Jaguar. Mercedes Lewis.
Hey, got it.
Yeah, hey, I tied it.
I shouldn't have told you.
So unless we have a sudden death that you can just come up with on your own.
Well, there's other ones.
Whatever you think, we can end in
just
a tie.
Just pick one.
It was a very bad game.
All right, let's do one more. All right,
it's John's turn or my turn to bid. Right? No, it's your turn.
No, it's my turn to bid. All right. 2015.
One. Just kidding.
Three.
He was a running back in 2015. That's Michael. you know what? For the sake of trying to win this game, I'm going to go two.
Browns tight end in 2015.
Browns tight end in 2015. I don't know.
Which is 6 years ago, and I totally forgot about this guy.
Is this Kellen Winslow Jr.?
Well, nope.
Oh, that's what I would have said.
Then I don't know.
Gary Barnage?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't remember him.
Winslow Jr. was a couple years sooner than that.
And his career ended because of a motorcycle accident.
Also, he was a nut job.
Well,
yeah. The fourth,
didn't live
maybe,
up to
maybe
the
why I had a motorcycle accident.
Didn't live up to that. From the U, right? He's from the Hue, and he's proud.
All right, we'll try this one.
All right, John, your turn.
2014.
All right, my turn to bid? Yeah, my turn to bid.
Your turn to bid.
2014?
Yep.
I'm going to shoot my shot and say three.
All right.
Prove it.
All right.
Baltimore Ravens running back.
Okay.
That was signed because Ray Rice was doing something called domestic assault.
Oh, sign. Okay, that's. Yeah, but I said three. So what's my. See, Ravens?
Ravens running back.
Okay.
That's your two. And then it was. You took over for Ray Rice.
Yeah, that's your three.
Wait a minute. What was... Oh, the...
Ravens running back.
Oh, Ravens running back.
Ray Rice.
Okay. And he was signed...
Because of the elevator incident.
Yeah, so he was signed by...
That's one way to call it.
The elevator incident. So...
Somebody went down.
It's
like,
yeah.
It's like a bad album, like the spaghetti incident.
They went down harder than How Pow. I didn't drag How Pow around by his hair when it was done, because they would have pulled it out. I can't remember who their running back is. You got it? Nobody wants to win.
We're killing this. Yeah, I have no idea.
Justin Forsett.
Oh, you know what? Let's.
What's your definition of a one-hit wonder?
Whatever the Giants told me in this article.
Yes. Okay. Right. So, for the sake of this podcast, we're going to pull out of this segment way quicker and way better than U.S. pulled out of Afghanistan. And
too soon.
Let's throw it to Missy and let's do some quick hits before we wrap up.
I like it.
We are definitely over an hour and we're definitely strayed. We didn't bring it to a halt, but we definitely did not represent the best gameplay that we've ever done on this show. But let's do this. The biggest thing to happen in mine and Tom's lives in this past week or so has been the return of CM Punk. I watched it. I didn't watch it live, as you texted us, because we were in Kansas City. But I managed to come home, and it was the first thing I watched when I sat down and made Missy watch it. She thought it was cool. I got goosebumps.
It was awesome.
Watching it. It was the return of CM Punk. He did it in Chicago. He said he didn't have a script, which he does better without a script. He said some awesome things. It just wrestling's better when CM Punk is wrestling.
100%. And... the thing you could tell, I mean, obviously, at some point they're going to turn him heel, but the fans are behind him. He just seems happy. He seems legitimately happy.
Well, his big quote, too, to what you just said, is he did not like WWE. He called it a toxic place to work, and he said he left because for his mental health, for his physical health, and he goes, and why would I come back to a place that made me sick in the first place? And that was his big quote, you know. And to what you said, to what you were talking about, that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was some shots fired. I don't know if you heard, but there were some other shots fired because of CM Punk's return.
Oh.
And those shots came from the tops of USA and Fox, not happy with the ratings because they got their asses kicked by AEW, who I think was up like 150%. Because of CM Punk's return, which is massive. That's massive ratings gain. And they weren't happy that Fox and apparently CM Punk got along great. It was WWE is the problem. And since their product continues to start going down, keeps going downhill, they're like, what's the problem? This guy who you could have brought back any time, you had a relationship with, you lost, dropped the ball in that? There's a good article, and of course it's from fucking Brad Metzler.
You mean Dave Metzler?
Fuck Metzler.
Uncle Dave?
It's from him, and he says that there are some rumblings in both offices that they got a mandate that WWE needs to fix its problems.
So the latest update with that is Universal is way more mad than Fox is because to counter CM Punk. And did you watch this past Dynamite where CM Punk did a promo and the crowd started going,
yes.
And he goes, that's somebody else's shtick, but be patient.
Yeah. was great. And then he tweeted out later that night, him and Daniel Bryan or Bryan Daniels shaking hands.
Yeah. So Friday night, where Punk comes out of the United Center, that following Saturday was SummerSlam, where the WWE brings back Becky Lynch and Brock Lesnar, who are both going to SmackDown on Fox. And Universal's like, what the fuck? Like, not only do we have the subpar show now, where we are also carrying your service through Peacock on Universal.
Yeah.
Now your two arguably biggest stars are also going to... You can't split that up. It's got the potential to be a messy relationship. WWE has also said this past week that they are done with indie wrestlers. They are going to just train anybody off the street that has the look.
They're going to homegrown their talent.
Homegrown their talent.
Which is a stupid thing to do.
Yes and no. I think it's going to water down the project, but here's the thing. All these indie guys know each other. They know the working conditions at WWE is fucking terrible. So why go work with your buddies at AEW with a guy who's got four times more money than Vince McMahon does and seems to be genuinely... Even Jim Cornette, who thinks that Tony Khan is a money mark, says he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
When you've got two choices in your life, and if it's more or less the same money, even if it's a little bit more money, you you go work for the nicer company where you're having fun.
Jim Cornette, also, who's super critical of everything AEW does, hates the Young Bucks.
Yes.
He actually came out this past week and said, I wouldn't have done it the way they did it with CM Punk. I'd have done it different. But they did it the best, but it was perfect.
Yep.
Also, speaking of something else, and John, I know you're not a wrestling fan. This will bring you into it.
Well, you should be. What is wrong with you, sir?
Speaking of WWE's problems, so they released a new John Cena shirt. You see the John Cena shirt? Have you seen this, Tom?
I did. It's awesome.
But do you know that a few years earlier, that was CM Punk's shirt?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Exact.
Yeah, it's a Super Mario Brothers 3 cover, but they literally ripped off their, it's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Well, 3 years from now is when all WWE's contracts with their television partners runs out, and I really think that they will be getting less money than they did. Even though live sports is still the cash cow for television companies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's the only thing that people watch live where they can get their money from the advertisers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's still where you get paid.
Yep.
I mean, it's... Yeah, I even, like you said, I was going to go transition into the Bryan Danielson, which that's inevitably going to be his name because that's his real name.
The American Dragon.
The American Dragon. I can't wait for that. We have talked about on this podcast, we've talked about in general how I'm a little hesitant about signing all the names. But even if you have a watered down base of talent, or not a watered down, but an overabundant amount of people in your stable, CM Punk and Bryan Danielson absolutely have to be in your stable if they're out there.
100%.
Nobody. And what helps, and the unique thing about AEW that the WWE also doesn't boast, because they're a lot like, you know, they're a lot like Texas University football. They have their own network. They're producing their own shit. They don't want anybody else having it. They want all their money themselves. WWE is the same way. Whereas AEW says, we may not be able to give you 2 hours of TV time every week. We're only going to give you 35 minutes on our show. But we will allow you to go to Japan, go to Mexico, and be on their TV and get, because wrestlers can go make one-off appearances in Japan and make $500K, like nothing. I mean, Japanese people.
Well, and that's if you choose to do so. But if you choose to, I think an airdrop for the AEW is, especially if you're like our age, you know, 30s or 40s, still wrestling, and you have a family, you only got to work like 10 times nights a month. Where in the WWE, you're gone like a truck driver, like 26 nights a month.
Yeah, that's AEW is not doing a lot of dark shows like WWE does. Shows. You know, WWE's, well, now that they're getting back to the schedule, you know, it's...
I can't believe they didn't learn their lesson. I cannot believe they're still doing house shows in Little Rock, fucking Arkansas.
Stop doing non-televised shows. It kills them now. It used to be, now pre-COVID, and especially in the 90s and stuff, when there were less options on TV, it was the thing to do.
Yeah,
it was an event, whether it was on TV or not. Now, we can literally bring up anything we're into and watch it live somewhere. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
And if you're into crazy shit like 3-on-1 fights, you can watch Russia. Dude does that. Real fights. I mean, it's just crazy shit everywhere.
Against a bear.
Yeah.
Watch Milk Crate Challenges.
So the only other thing I've got to throw to Missy, and I'll get mine out of the way and see what you guys got. I recently, and season 2 started yesterday, but I shotgunned this week because I had a lot of office time this week. A TV series on Apple TV, and it's been out for some time, but I never gave it a chance. But I saw, speaking of wrestling, Mr. Dave Bautista is going to be in season 2, so I watched season 1 of C.
How is that?
I like it a lot.
Okay.
It's on Netflix? I've been on the fence.
Huh?
Netflix?
No, Apple TV.
Oh, okay.
And I'll tell you why I like it.
Because you want to bang that Jason Momoa.
Okay, he is a sexy man. Well, for one, it does have boobs, too, a little bit.
Well, hey now.
Two... I think it has boobs. It feels like there's boobs in it. It feels a lot like a post-apocalyptic Game of Thrones.
Okay.
And there's some comparisons that you'll see to, like, Cersei.
Sure.
In it, with the queen in this. But so the hook of the show is, bear with me here if you've heard this. There's a pandemic that has ravaged the planet, and the human race had been reduced to 2 million people.
Okay.
But the people that did live through the pandemic all lost their eyesight.
Oh.
So, and it's 100 years after that to where how people have adjusted, how they have new gods, how they, you know. So you have to swallow a lot of disbelief because there's still a lot of things that they know how to do and stuff. But essentially, everyone has been turned into Daredevil. They're all amazing without their eyesight. They hear well, but there's these really fucking creepy people called shadows, and they're people without eyesight that have gotten so good at movement without making a noise that they can skulk around and stalk people and pick up information. They're spies.
So ninjas.
But yeah, yes. They're ninjas. But what's cool, there's one scene where...
And of course, one person can see.
There is one person. Not just can one person see, but all of his offspring can see.
It's the name of the show.
And he's essentially went from... He's went on like a fuck festival through the world planting seeds, so to speak. And so there's...
Makes sense.
So you get a lot of teenagers and older that have the ability to see. And one cool scene is you come across this, and it's not a spoiler, but you come across another person who can see, and he's working with this princess, and he tells her, he goes... there are creepy, quiet people all over this town. And, like, all these people are moving around in the town, and they're these shadows, and they cover themselves in mud, and they're just all standing, like randomly standing throughout. It's really creepy. But it's the action's very good, and even though it's a far-fetched premise that these people can still operate, they do. It's a pretty cool medieval-style story.
Okay.
And I'm very... And the fight scenes are unbelievable. Jason Momoa, he has this thing where he fights people, and he always puts... When he goes to kill him, he puts their sword around their neck and spins it all the way around their... Slices all the way around and moves on. He's badass in it.
But can he see?
No. The scene is all for young people. It's 8 episodes, so your investment's not deep.
That's good. It's always a plus.
And season 2 looks really cool because the trailer for season 2, you see Dave Bautista standing on a bridge and he can't see either, and you see Jason Momoa go, "I don't want to have to kill you." And Dave Bautista goes, "Well, that's good to know. But good luck with that." and they go to bat, like these two badasses.
That's
so
cool. All right.
Yeah, it looks good. The season 2 looks good, so it made me shoot one. And I tell you what, it's so good. It's good enough to me, in my mind. It's so good that it's silly that I hadn't gave it a chance before, because it's got all the ingredients that I like in my normal dinner. So
blind people,
yeah. Well, sword fights,
Jason
medieval style, medieval style hierarchy, and post apocalyptic stuff. So
gritty camera angles.
Yeah.
Every time Michelle sees Jason Momoa in something, she says, "There's your boyfriend."
Yeah. She's like, yeah. This is the most Khal Drogo he's been since Khal Drogo.
Ooh, that's always good.
Yeah. Yeah, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but the persimmon, what I gather from the trailer...
I don't even know what persimmon is.
Yeah, he just went right...
The premise...
Oh, yeah. The premise.
He went right off...
I believe the French pronunciation is premise.
Premise.
Yeah.
That they believe that people see will bring the world back to destruction,
so
right?
Lightbringers are evil. Yeah, they believe that they're evil. Okay. Yeah, so there's a... Then they're witches. So there's this guy called a witch hunter queen who's... Yeah, they're all blind.
Okay. Not all of them.
Not all of them. But all the ones that are major characters.
Do you watch the show?
No.
Just the trailer.
Okay. Yeah.
He goes. This is what I'm getting from the trailer.
He's going around trying to find them, and he's on like a 20-year campaign to try to find them. It's worth watching. And the queen in it is just the right amount of creepy, just the right amount of Cersei, just the right amount of crazy.
Yeah.
That she's the bad guy, and she has a pretty cool arc in it herself.
Oh, okay.
She goes crazy, 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 crazy. She falls off a cliff in her stature in life, and then starts to rise back up.
This is like a good face turn.
Yeah. No.
No.
It's not a face turn. It's a power play. How about that? Yeah.
There you go.
So it's worth watching. But John, being a guest, what's something that you've been into on the old quick hits for Throw It to Missy?
I've been rewatching Peaky Blinders.
I've never watched it. I watched season 1 about 3 episodes.
It's
Cillian. I think
couldn't
I couldn't
get
his
into
name
it.
Wrong.
I need to give it another shot, I guess.
Murphy. It's not Cillian Murphy. It's a different. His name's pronounced different, but he's a great actor.
He is. And
Scarecrow.
Rewatching
yes,
it,
absolutely.
Yeah, Scarecrow. And rewatching it is, it's better.
Okay.
I like it a lot better. You know, Michelle and I gave up on it.
Yeah.
I think around season 3.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, they don't do those.
But they pronounce it with
Sounds
a C.
Sounds Polish.
It's spelled with a C,
yeah,
right?
Cillian. Yeah.
So rewatching it has actually been nice.
Okay.
I sit and work and have it up on the screen. And
one of the reasons we didn't watch it is Missy does bad with accents.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't... That's as accent heavy as you get, because that's like Cockney.
Oh, yeah.
It is, and then you get into the... You get the Irish and again the people from Wales.
So, out of 5...
3.75.
That's above average.
That's good.
It's above average. It's almost a 4.
I would have given it a 2.5 before. I've increased it watching it again.
I mean, you know, the in our, especially in our group of friends, the historic standard for that is Anchorman. First time a lot of us watched Anchorman, we're like, oh, this is okay. And then we proceeded to watch it 600 more times in life, and it's one of the funniest fucking movies ever made. So
agree there.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, speaking of palaces and malice.
Malice at the palace. I watched this. I
really enjoyed that.
Have you watched it?
I have not watched it. I've seen some tweets about it.
Yeah. It's, I actually got my wife to watch it, and she enjoyed it, too.
Missy thought about watching it, yeah. And I didn't think it was going to be something she'd be into.
Kelly liked it.
And I want to watch it again. I tell you this. When it happened, and we're old enough to remember it,
yep.
It was easy to hate Ron Artest.
Yes.
When you watch it, Meta World Peace. And when they did a good show, good job on the documentary about going down the thug route and showing you all this stuff and talking about the problems, and then they kind of turn and say, "Well, here's what the fan like the for instance the fan that that got on the court and tried to fight, and he actually had his season tickets revoked because he had been in a lot of
total scumbag, no redemption for that guy.
He looks worse because they interview him, and then the guy that threw the beer,
water bottle, also
a piece of shit." Went around and did all the talk show circuit laughing about starting it. Watching it really makes you sympathize with the play, and especially the most sympathetic figure in this whole thing, which could have easily been Reggie Miller, who lost out on a championship bid because they were the best team.
Yeah,
absolutely were.
But is Jermaine O'Neal.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Comes out. He got fucked because the prosecuting attorney ruled in favor that he had a right because the player came on the court to defend himself in that situation, but the league still suspended him for 26 games.
Yeah, because they were worried about it. I mean, it doesn't get too heavy in the racial implications, but it definitely you're not an idiot audience, but these guys were white guys. Yeah, this would not. I mean, the suspensions are crazy.
That was pretty hard. The way they showed all the news outlets that were talking about NBA's thug problem, that was racially motivated.
It was.
Big time.
And that was only 15 years ago, and it's like, oh, God, we've come a long way since then.
Have we? Sometimes. Sometimes we slip. So I haven't watched the Christy Martin one yet, but that I saw.
Oh, I didn't know there was another one.
This is a series.
I didn't know that, but I didn't know there was a second one.
Christy Martin is essentially the, she was the first great female boxer.
Okay. This is like basically Netflix's version of 30 for 30.
Yeah. And I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay.
But the Christy Martin one, I didn't know this. I knew she was like America's sweetheart. She was a boxing stud. She had a great record. Married her manager. He tried to kill her, stabbed her 6 times, and
not great.
She lived. But then now she's married.
Wait, I mean, usually your managers try to stab you in the back, not in the front.
Yeah, he stabbed her. Now she's married to her number one opponent throughout her career. So there were some problems that Christy had about what.
So she's a woman who loves to company with other women now?
Yeah, yeah. The problem with her life as a whole was that she had this guy essentially running the show on her career.
Yep.
And then she also wasn't being honest with herself as to what she was, who she was. But for people that don't know Christy Martin, and there's many of them.
Yeah, I don't.
You'll find it very entertaining.
Okay. I'm going to check that out.
In fact, when we're sitting down doing nothing, we should watch Malice at the Palace because Missy wanted. And it's awesome.
It's really good.
Yeah. So, I don't know if I have anything else, but I'm certainly willing to bounce some other stuff off. Anything else that you've been up to lately, John?
No, not really.
We're thinking about going and playing bocce ball today and maybe smoking some cigars here in a little bit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, we'd like you to go, but I know.
No chance.
Yeah, zero. What about you? Anything else left?
Well, I'm going to do one more before, unless you guys are.
We're in no hurry. The only thing we got to do is convince Missy to have beer.
There you go. You know, I'll have one more before you guys go do that. Well, hey, you know, your St. Louis Blues are about, I guess we're about 50 days away from opening night. God, it's getting close already.
It's really close. That's
crazy. This team is looking like it'll be good enough to lose in the second round. But, the Blues,
you know, though,
calling me a lot, asking me why I'm not getting season tickets anymore. And I'm like, you kind of priced me out. I mean, when I first got them 12 years ago, $17 a game. No, we're at about 40, 42.
That's a lot more money.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Hey, fans, if your team wins a championship, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because as soon as they do, in about 2 years, you don't want nothing to do with them. Because I'm trying to fuck you.
You know, though, starting, I mean, I know your theme went to where they're fucking you.
I get it.
The team that won the Stanley Cup, we also didn't think was going to win any games in the playoffs or much. I mean, they might catch lightning in a bottle. I mean,
pun intended?
What about Tarasenko?
So the latest of Tarasenko is that teams are interested, but the shoulder's fucked still.
Yeah.
The Blues have... It's very rare when a team is like... lets you know what the medical issues are, you know, is very forthcoming. Yeah. And the Blues are like, no, they're trying to be honest and transparent. Like, here's the medical reports. And the reports are his shoulder's probably still fucked. And the Blues... would prefer not to give any money away. And if they are going to give money away, they want to get something reasonable return back. And so there's a stalemate. But I actually read an article from Jeremy Rutherford this morning from The Athletic. And he still is convinced, like, no, at some point before opening night, he will still be traded. The teams that are interested are the Hurricanes,
okay,
the Rangers, and the Islanders still. So
two New York teams and
the Hurricanes have a lot of salary cap, so they can bring him in.
What do you think his impact on a team will be after he leaves St. Louis?
Depends on how that shoulder stands up.
Let's say shoulder's healthy.
He can still score 25 goals in this league easily.
But he's not the 40-goal scorer that... That's not going to ever happen.
Maybe 30.
That's a good year, though.
I mean, he's 30, I think, now.
Yeah.
But, like, he's a poor man's Ovechkin. Like, he only has, like, one move. It's like, I'm going to...
So, in the way too soon picks for the season, well, who's going to be our best weapon this year?
As far as goals,
who's
going to
be the stand? However you want to do it, who's going to be the standout weapon for the Blues? If we have a successful season, who's the one guy you're going to say that's why we were successful?
Robert Thomas.
Okay, and what is Robert Thomas? He's a forward.
Robert Thomas is our third line center, is our first round pick about 3 or 4 years ago. He is he just turned 21. He was on the Stanley Cup winning team. He is if you watch that play, which I'm sure you guys have watched many times, he won the faceoff. Made the move, backhanded against the post, and Maroon picked up the sloppy seconds to score against the Stars.
Now, let me ask you this, because, I know hockey, but I don't know it great. Is it possible to be a third-line center and to be an all-star?
No.
Okay, so
unless you're like the 80s.
It's going to be an impact from the third line that you think will be the difference.
Well, the hope would be that he will make it up to the second line.
Okay. Hockey's so weird how the lines work. You're essentially third string, but you play a lot.
Each line has a different role. Yeah, I mean, the first line is you're just out there to score goals. The second line is we want you to be secondary scoring. We also need you to play a little defense.
And the third line is to
kind of a hodgepodge. And the fourth line is you need to play defense.
Yeah, and go fight someone.
Yeah, well, not anymore. But
not since we got rid of Reeves. That was our fourth.
Well, hockey's just not that anymore, which for better or for worse.
Well... And how about Bennington? I think that'll be the last one. What kind of year should we expect from him? Is he still? Can we still
he's
say
over. He's overrated?
Yeah, because he's a Stanley Cup winning goalie.
He's between 10th and 15th best goalie in the league. And I troll. I shouldn't say troll because I honestly do believe that. But when I mentioned that on like Blues Twitter, like I had people just go crazy. I'm like, he's fine. Good.
I got one last thing I want to bring up. You said Blues Twitter. There's a film Twitter. Film Twitter has been ablaze this week because someone wrote an article about red flag movies. There's certain movies that you mention, and if someone says, oh, that's one of my favorite movies, that's a red flag that you shouldn't be friends with this person. Ooh. And Twitter went crazy because someone brought up Fight Club. And this guy said, I love Fight Club. Love Fight Club.
No, it's an amazing movie.
Their point was, it's like for the same reason Woodstock 99 happened, that Fight Club became the movie for all the frat boys and the white guys and stuff. But I love Fincher. I love Fight Club. I love Paul and Chuck, the writer. I love Brad Pitt and Ed Norton. So your stance is exactly the way Twitter was.
I need to preface this. I don't think it's a sign if you like that movie that it's toxic white male culture. I don't think the movie holds up. When I first saw Fight Club, yes, I thought it was very good. Upon viewings, I guess the last time I watched it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Oh, it's fine.
I watch it once a year and I love it.
Once a year and I love it too. I think you can you don't even have to like the fighting portion of it. If you look at the underlying meanings of everything.
See, I just love the movie in general.
I like the fighting. I'm not going to lie.
It looks good.
If you take that out.
I think it's well acted, and I think it's got a good story.
I think there's a rule that if meatloaf's in your movie, like it can't be like that great.
I mean, have you seen Formula 54 or Formula 45, whatever it was, with Sam Jackson, Meatloaf's in that. That's a great movie.
All right, I'm about to do the transition of transitions before we get rid of it. So his name was Robert Paulson.
His name was Robert
Paulson. Well, Sarah Paulson might be the best actress in Hollywood. She's gone from playing the prosecuting attorney in the OJ case, I can't remember her name right now, to have you guys seen the previews for the new FX American Crime Story? The impeachment?
The impeachment,
yeah. Oh, my God. She looks unrecognizable as Linda Tripp. That's Clive Owen playing Bill. He looks, I'm like, who wait a second. FX, it's Clive fucking Owen.
FX is not only willing to invest in actors, but willing to invest a bunch of money in prosthetics to make a show work.
I mean, I've seen Edie Falco yell at Tony Soprano. I cannot wait to see her being Hillary yelling at Bill.
Yeah.
Yo, 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 horse, Bill! Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Can't. So on that note.
In Bart Scott's words, can't wait.
So on that note, before you say LGB, TQ, whatever. No,
yep,
no,
plus.
Let's at least say thanks for John for coming
Thank you,
on.
Sir.
Let's,
Always a pleasure.
Probably going to release this pretty early in the week, and then we'll probably get another episode in the books and then release a normal Wednesday. We'll see. I don't know. We didn't get one last week because things fell apart because of a KO to Hal Pow and a long drinking weekend for me in Kansas City. But that's all. Water under the bridge. Instead,
let's go blue.
John, you can say bye to everybody.
Bye, everyone. And just so we have it on audio, Arkansas. 7-5
Oh, really?
Right before the music
real
plays.
Bold there.
Right before the music plays, we're going 7-5
23-7